Hi, everyone. I'm Rachel McQueen. I'm Senior Manager of Patient Centricity with Moderna, but I'm also a mother, and a mother who experienced firsthand what it was like trying to enroll my own son in a clinical trial. And that's really what I wanted to share with all of you today. I'll share just a little bit about what that experience looked like for us, some of the lessons that I personally took from that, and how I've been able to incorporate some of those lessons into the work that we're doing within Moderna. So I think it's important to share just a little bit of background, first of all, on what even drove us to try to consider a trial. Our story is a little bit different from a lot of what we've heard here over the last few days, and that we were actually trying to enroll in a healthy volunteer study, but it was for a very personal family reason, which I'll share. So it was 2021. I had actually just delivered my second son, so I had an infant at home, but I was also one of the primary caregivers for my mother-in-law, and she was nearing end of life with a rare disorder called progressive supranuclear palsy. And so we already felt like we were being robbed of time with her, and we were not willing to give up anything else. We had, you know, weeks to months left. We weren't willing to lose any time. We just weren't. And so we were being incredibly diligent about trying to not bring, you know, any type of illness into the home, whether that was COVID or, you know, any other, who knows what was going around at the daycare that week. So that was no small feat with two small children. And, you know, by this time, my husband had been vaccinated. I was actually vaccinated while I was pregnant with my second son. But then that just leaves my son, Harry, who you see here on the screen. And he was 4 years old at the time, so obviously there was nothing approved for him yet. And so after a lot of thought, a lot of consideration, we, you know, talked to our pediatrician. My husband and I had, you know, quite a few back and forths over this, but we finally decided what was right for us at that time was to try to enroll him in a trial. And so that's what we did. And, you know, I've worked in this industry for, you know, a very long time, and I felt like I was prepared. I thought I knew what to expect. I thought I knew what we were getting into, and I couldn't have been more wrong. So, you know, even armed with all of that background information, all of that knowledge, we were still unable to enroll him in that trial. And it's not because he didn't qualify. He absolutely did. It's because of the experience that we had on screening day. So I'll share just a little bit about what that experience looked like. It was not unique. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of the things that we experienced happen every day on trials across the globe. I'll also say that, you know, what we experienced pales in comparison to what a lot of other families go through, you know, for many, many other types of trials. But first of all, as I said, I was incredibly ill-prepared. I got very little information from the site ahead of time, very little on what to expect, no idea how long I was going to be there that day. You know, none of these things to prepare you. I essentially read over the ICF at home, had a little talk with my son, you know, tell him, you know, he's four, so, you know, what do you tell a four-year-old about this? I tell him we're going to go get a shot. You know, it's going to, you know, hopefully help you from getting, keep you from getting sick so we can spend more time with Nana. And I just kind of left it at that. And so then we show up on screening day, and from the moment we walked in the door, something felt off. It felt wrong. It felt like somewhere that we were not meant to be, and it was the environment that we walked into. It's kind of hard to even put it into words. It was just a cold, uninviting. It felt like the staff didn't understand what participation meant for us. It was like we were just a number, which is unfortunate. You know, there were many small things that happened throughout that day that led to, you know, just a huge impact for us. The consult or the consent conversation, you know, it's obviously a very adult conversation. I'm kind of off to the side having this conversation with the nurse, you know, talking about things that my son obviously does not understand. He's kind of left to the side with no one talking to him at his level, no one explaining to him what's going to happen to him. He can tell that we're talking about him, but nobody's talking to him. And so I can visibly see him getting anxious and nervous and just not wanting to be there. Then there was also the nasal swab, of course. You know, he's a four-year-old. He doesn't like that. Who does? But there, again, there was no preparation. There was no one talking to him at his level, no one trying to make him comfortable. It was all very cut and dry and very clinical. There was no human element to any of this experience. The waiting, we all know that, you know, screening days, we know these appointments, we know they're long. I had no idea how long. And I do this day in and day out. And there was nothing there to help with that. And, you know, we weren't prepared for it. It's not like we were at a hospital where we could go off to the cafeteria or go to the gift shop. We were in this cold, uninviting place that didn't feel right. And there's nothing. And we're there for hours on end with an anxious four-year-old. So you can imagine the day did not go well. Kind of the straw that broke the camel's back was, of course, the blood draw. And I think you all probably know how that went. I'll give you the short version. Essentially, again, no preparation. Nobody came in to talk to my son about what was going to happen. He's 4 years old. He's, thank God, not a sick child. He's never had to have a blood draw. They walk in. They instruct me to stand at his head. They plop him on the table. A nurse stands on either side, another nurse at his feet. Again, no explanation. They hold him down, restrain him, take his blood. He's obviously hysterical, runs out. It was a traumatic experience for me, so I'm sure it was a traumatic experience for him. And, you know, he runs down the hall, all of the things, and I have to calm him down, and I know that we're not going to be able to participate in this trial. And obviously we're all, you know, very upset about this. But all of this to say, you know, even though we couldn't participate, there were also lasting effects. So even to this day, he's anxious over medical appointments. When I took him for his routine vaccinations, it was a scene that I won't even describe to you, but there was another running out and all of the things again. So obviously there's room for change in the industry, and I feel very lucky to sit in a role with Moderna where I'm able to influence some of that change. And so for the purpose of our talk today, I wanted to just focus in on three key areas where I, you know, personally saw some gaps, you know, just from our experience, and provide a couple of concrete examples of ways that we are working to address those. So I'm going to focus in on empathy, patient involvement, and family readiness. So when we think about the importance of empathy in clinical trials, you know, the first thing that I think of is you can't be patient-centric or family-centric if everybody working on that trial doesn't understand what it's like to live a day in the patient's shoes. You have to feel what they feel and understand what their life is like. I mean, we can't do that. We can't really feel that, but you have to try. You have to try to understand where they're coming from. It has to come from deep within your organization. It doesn't happen easy. It doesn't happen overnight. And it certainly doesn't happen without effort. So I wanted to share just a little bit about a pilot program we ran several months ago where we did an immersive experience where several members of our team actually became the patient and lived a day in the patient's shoes. It was a 24-hour experience where we were presented with real-world challenges that patients face day-to-day, and that included some things like symptoms of disease, the effect of that on their daily living. We went through this experience where we went through the agony and the waiting that comes along with, you know, waiting to get those scan results and to get that call, and then all those feelings that come afterward. And it was an incredibly impactful experience. Of course, as I said, you know, we can never truly understand what it's like to be the patient, but this came pretty close, and it's a good start. It's a step in the right direction to help teams understand where patients are coming from. So we as an organization, we're focused on empathy and incorporating that into everything that we do. We're now in the process of, okay, you know, this pilot was wonderful. How do we roll this out to the wider organization in a way that is meaningful? And so we are looking at incorporating a pediatric-focused experience that will help study teams understand through the eyes of a parent and a young child. We're also looking at how to incorporate this experience into our onboarding, so making sure that, you know, this is built into our culture from day one. And then finally rolling this out with some of our partners, so you know, people like our recruitment vendors or our CROs, to make sure that they, you know, they too are building this into their organizations, since essentially they touch the inpatient as well. So I want to talk just a little bit about patient involvement as well, because it was very clear to me that the trial we tried to participate in had not consulted patients either. We routinely, within Moderna, we do collect insights through, you know, patient interviews, simulations, but I wanted to highlight one recent activity that focused in on understanding the burden of participation for new mothers and their babies when considering a maternal RSV study. So for this particular exercise, we talked to 30 mothers across 5 countries, and based on their feedback, we were able to do several things that you see here. So we were able to alleviate a lot of the anxieties that they expressed by making updates to some things like the breast milk collection guide and our cord blood collection guide. We put into place different supports, such as home health and travel, and did it in a way that, you know, really provided those mothers with the support that they needed. We also, of course, shared back all of our learnings with our sites. We were able to incorporate things into our investigator meeting to help make sure they're as prepared as they can be. And then I think most impactful here was we were actually able to tackle transparency head on and avoid some regulatory delays with some transparent language updates to our ICF. And then finally, how we're trying to tackle family readiness. So in 2023, we rolled out our first ever patient experience platform, and it was actually designed by patients for patients with patient feedback, and it was an amazing platform, supports patients from end to end with everything they could need in sort of one single place. But now we're trying to look at this and say, okay, you know, how can we take this concept to the next level? How can we make changes and edits to this to make sure that it's supporting families in a way that's meaningful for families, and especially those with young children. So we are working to incorporate things like procedure preparation, so including information about, you know, how to prepare your child for the visit. You know, how can you make them understand what they're coming in to do? How can you normalize that experience so it's not so scary? Including information about site location, what's on site, what to bring, you know, who's the staff that you're going to see that day, trying to build that comfort level, you know, if it's not the place that they go for their care every day, just trying to make families comfortable and understand what they're getting into. And then finally building in tools that could help with calming and distraction, relaxation, and occupying some of the younger participants. You know, we don't ever want to turn away anyone who's interested in the trial that qualifies. So this one I get really excited about because I think about how different our experience could have been if we had been provided with a tool like this. It would have been night and day. And so I'm looking forward to see the evolution of this. So that is really all I had for today. So we probably do have a few minutes for questions.
Thank you so much for sharing. Questions from the audience? I have one, so I have a question. Is that okay? So thank you for sharing the example of the immersive simulation, and I think it's great that you're sharing it with like your CRO and vendor partners. Mm-hmm. I just want to know a little bit about the logistics of how you set that up. Was it something you did internally? Did you use a partner?
So no, we actually used a partner, and we actually ran it through one of our CROs as the pilot program, but we're looking at how we can implement that on a wider scale within the organization internally.
And are you doing that like just in pediatrics, or are you trying to use that for all
so
your...
We're trying to do it across the board. We're actually trying to build out essentially what it would be is different personas and different perspectives. So looking at it through not only the eyes of, you know, a mother of a young child, but also, you know, the eyes of an older participant, and just seeing how those views skew how they feel.
Yes. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah.
Tara.
Hi there. Thank you for that presentation. Really interesting, Rachel. Question for you about your experience with your son. I'm just wondering how much of that was down to the study design and how much of that was down to the culture at the site? And as sponsors, how can you influence both?
So for us, I don't think it was the protocol design. I think everything that we had to do that day, it needed to be done. I think it was the atmosphere at the site. I think it part of it, I honestly think, was the time. I mean, it was still COVID. I mean, it was 2021, so there were protocols in place at sites where maybe they couldn't have certain things out, or, you know, there were a lot of factors that played into our experience that day. And then, I'm sorry, your other question was how
can sponsors influence? that site
experience?
I think
it comes down to site training and talking to patients. So, you know, like I said, you know, we routinely do things like simulations and the interviews and sharing that out with our sites, bringing the patient voice to the investigator meetings, making sure that they understand. And we've heard this over and over again, but it's about the human experience. Like, these are people. They have other things going on in their life. They are not a number.